Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
First up is Cindy Miles. She is running again for County Commission District number 2.
So good morning. Thank you all for being here. Can you hear me okay with this mask? Because I'm trying to abide. No, take it off. I'm trying to abide by the social distancing mandate or the mask mandate that's in the county and the city. So I am a lifelong Republican. I've been a Republican since the time that I was able to register to vote. And I have maintained that all of these years. But what I really want you to know is that I am a longtime community volunteer advocate in the community that has been working to do a lot of things in the county. And I've brought just my short list, if you'd like to see, some of the things that I've been involved in and doing in the county. And those things, some of those things that I'll point out is I've been serving on the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission to guide development because I believe very strongly in guided development. I've worked on a number of different planning initiatives in the county and the city of Wichita to, again, guide that development and promote redevelopment and infill projects in the county and in the community. I've been serving on the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Coalition to help combat substance abuse and mental health. That's leading to a lot of issues in our county. So if you want to know more about me, I'd love to invite you to visit my website at electcindymiles.com. And again, I'd be glad to talk to you about this short list of some of the things that I've been involved in this community. Thank you.
Next up is Kathleen Garrison, also for Sedgwick County District number 2.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello, I'm Kathleen Garrison. I'm so happy to be here, and I feel very privileged to be a part of this group and to have the opportunity to represent you. I want to know about your concerns, your life, and what matters to you. I also want to bring integrity back to the board, and I feel like the actions and the behavior of each individual is very important. I wanted to let you know I'm currently working for the U.S. Attorney's Office. I'm a data analyst, and I'm a contractor for the Department of Justice. I have a bachelor's from Newman in political science, and I'm currently working on my master's from Seton Hall in diplomacy and international affairs. I'm a mother of 8, and I have 5 grandchildren. And I have lived in this community my whole life, aside from the time that my husband and I were in the Air Force. And I love our community. I'm proud of our president, and I'm very concerned about our nation and the direction it is headed. And I'd like to do my part to make a difference. Thank you very much.
And finally, our incumbent Sedgwick County Commissioner, Michael O'Donnell.
Thank you very much, John, everyone, for being here today. I am Michael O'Donnell. Some of you may know me as the villain that I play in the Wichita Eagle. Other people may know me from the fact that I have volunteered and been active in the Republican Party my entire life. My parents made it very clear when I was born that you can't be born a Christian, but you can be born a Republican. And so we are very proud of that in our household. I've worked on campaigns. I've worked in the Republican Party my whole life. when I was in my early 20s, I ran and I was able to be elected to the Wichita City Council. Probably the most conservative person that's ever served on the Wichita City Council. I was very proud of that. In 2012, I was asked by our governor and my dear friend Susan Wagle to run for state senate. I ran against Jean Schodorf. If anybody remembers Jean Schodorf, she was a powerhouse in Topeka, but she was in the wrong party. And when we beat her, she did register as a Democrat. We were trying to make it clear that we need conservative leaders all throughout our state. In 2016, I was asked to run against Tim Norton. Everyone said, Michael, nobody can beat Tim Norton except you. He had been in for years. Nobody else stepped up. So I ran for the Sedgwick County Commission, and the first time in over 20 years, we had all five seats held by Republicans in Sedgwick County, which was a great victory. I am running again. I'm going to win the seat again because Republicans need strong representation in Sedgwick County. Thank you.
Okay, this hand of the mic back and forth thing is going to get fun, I can tell. So just in a brief calculation, I think the room's set for 45. I counted roughly 12 masks. So we're going to start with that question. During the period from June 21st through July 5th, hospitalizations went from about 15 per day to 6 per day. Daily case rates, and this is coronavirus, daily case rates during the same period of time have also been trending downward from about 10.7 per 100,000 people to about 8.2. Do you believe Dr. Mins was justified in ordering a mask mandate for Sedgwick County, or do you feel he exceeded his authority since the county commission had explicitly told him that they opposed such a mandate? And we'll start with Cindy Miles, since you're first, and then next time we'll start with Kathleen.
So here's what I feel about the mask mandate. That would have been my last choice for us to have a mandate to require masks to be worn in the city and or the county. I would have preferred that we come together as a community and do what we can do to fight this virus that we have going on and to try to keep lives safe. So that would have been my choice. Whether or not I agree with it, again, I'd prefer that there not be a mandate, but I do think something needs to be done in order to keep this from growing.
This is Kathleen. I do not believe that lawmakers have the right to tell people what to wear. I think that people have the ability to make that decision for themselves, and I have confidence in the public to decide whether they feel they are at risk and they want to do whatever they need to do to protect themselves. I don't think they constitutionally they have the right to do that. I think it'll be challenged, and especially don't think an unelected official has the right to demand anything in that regard from our citizenry. And I just look at the numbers, and if we have hospital beds available, then we're doing okay. That's really the only issue that we initially started with is, do we have the ability to care for those who need the help? If we have beds available, if we have the equipment we need to take care of them, then there's really no reason to panic. We never said that no one was going to get the illness. That was never the objective to begin with. So I just think it's an abuse of power, and it's causing people to have more fear and not less, and restrict their freedom of movement. And it's just not American, and it's not constitutional. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I was one of those members that voted against mandating the mask. So two things can be true at once. The coronavirus is serious. We should take it seriously. We should practice safe, reasonable measures and actions like mask, like hand sanitizer, like washing our hands, staying 6 feet away. But let's be clear that we need more freedom and we need more liberty in our lives, not less. We need more. We need government to get out of our way more on a daily basis. And this is a government overreach. It's unenforceable. Everyone said it's unenforceable. The police department doesn't want it. The sheriff's department doesn't want it. So let's just give people the ability to make the decisions that's best for them and their family. And we're going to do the correct thing. Common sense isn't in large supply, but it is with this issue. I am just baffled that we are allowing unelected bureaucrats to dictate our daily actions.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate that. Your second question is budget related. The county is facing a significant budget shortfall next year and an even larger budget shortfall in 2022. How would you propose we solve that? Do you support raising taxes, cutting spending, or a combination of the two? And if you support cuts, what would you cut? If you support raising taxes, how much and what taxes would you raise? And we'll start with Kathleen Garrison.
Yes, I know this is going to be a difficult question, and it's really hard to give you specifics until I see the numbers. I would like to know where we're at and what they project the future to be for the county. Obviously, I think our emergency services are the most vital thing we have to protect. I do not believe in defunding the police in any way. And I just feel like we need to take care of the services that people expect us to provide and then be honest with the public about where we stand. Also encouraging businesses and not preventing them by causing more restrictions on their ability to provide jobs and to which gives income to the county. I think the combination of increasing our economic opportunities and being honest about what we may be able to live without for the short term will help us in the long term, and we can get through this if we work together and we're honest with the public and let them know where we're at. I think everyone wants the same goal. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, there are going to be tough decisions that are going to have to be made, and I have a record of making those decisions. We did it in Topeka. I did it on the Wichita City Council when we were in the Great Recession 10 years ago. We're going to do it next year. This is a great opportunity for government to find efficiencies. This is a great opportunity to consolidate services with the city of Wichita. They're in a budget crisis as well. You, as residents of Sedgwick County, and if you live in the city of Wichita, you're paying for duplication of a lot of services. I've been banging my head against the wall. We've done study after study talking about things like merging fire departments, merging vehicle services departments, doing some public works trade-offs, and yet nothing ever happens. Now's the time you need to demand your Sedgwick County Commission, your Wichita City Council member, work together, make government more efficient. Let's use this crisis to make ourselves more conservative in our spending, because taxes being raised is a non-starter for me. I've signed the Taxpayer Protection Pledge. I've never voted to raise taxes, and I never will.
So I served on the committee to develop the comprehensive plan for the city and county a few years ago. I spent 3 years serving on that committee. And one of the things that I had the opportunity to do during that time was look over intensely at the budgets for both City of Wichita and for Sedgwick County. And I got to hear a lot of feedback from the citizens about what is important. And I agree. We should look at consolidating services. We should address the mental health and substance abuse issues that are leading to our jails being overcrowded. And we're spending a lot of money on our jails. And if we could redirect those funds to mental health services and decrease the amount of money that we spend on jails and law enforcement, then I think that would help. I think we also have to look at some of the other basic services that happen. If we have to, we have to defer some of the maintenance of the roads, or some, you know, reduce the amount of cutting that we do at Parks and Rec.
So this question is very timely, considering the folks from the Save Century 2 Coalition just turned in their petition with over 17,000 signatures in support. What are your thoughts on the future of Century 2? Do you support the Save Century 2 movement, or do you support those who want to tear it down and redevelop it? And we'll start with Cindy Miles.
So this is an easy one for me. I think the vote should go to the people to decide what we do with Century 2. I look at Century 2, and I am the CEO of the Nonprofit Chamber of Service, and I look at the work that nonprofits do in this community, and I envision all the things that could be done with that building. And I don't think we've adequately evaluated what could be done with that building. I think there's lots of opportunities. It's not that I don't think we need another convention center necessarily, or maybe even a performing arts center, because I think those things are important. I just think that there's other uses that Century 2 could be used for. I know that there's a lot of good organizations in this community looking for space, and I think that's what we need to do with Century 2. Put it to the people to vote.
I'd like to save Century 2. I think it's the heart of our city, and I think it's an important landmark. I think the people have spoken and already expressed their opinion about that, and I think we need to let the developers give us some suggestions about how we can economically use it and have a financial benefit for the city.
Thank you. I am very proud to be the only local elected official that signed the petition. We need to save Century 2 for two reasons. It's economically feasible. We can remodel it. Let's bring it up to 21st century standards, and let's start focusing on our core services. The roads in South Wichita are in desperate need of work, and instead, we're talking about tearing down an icon that just needs a little bit of refurbishing. They did this to the library. When I was on the city council, I voted against a new library. We had an old library that Hutton Construction said we could remodel for $5 million. And what'd they do? They built a new one for $34 million across the street. And they left the old one just completely empty. We've got to start using common sense. We're in a budget crisis right now. I've taken a lot of hits for supporting Century 2 by a lot of developers in this town. So something tells me there's a lot of people trying to make a lot of money off of the hard-working men and women of Wichita.
So this question everybody's going to see, so I'm giving a preview to whoever comes up next. I ask every candidate where they stand on our party platform. If they've read it, if there are any issues with the platform, if they disagree with issues like the Second Amendment, pro-life, things like that. So I'll start with Michael O'Donnell. We'll come back down this way. Where do you stand on the Second Amendment? Where do you stand on life? Fundamental issues of our Republican Party platform.
So any candidate can say they're pro-life. Any candidate can say they support the Second Amendment. I have a record, a long record, of allowing guns inside the city of Wichita. We got that done when I was on the Wichita City Council. And I'm the only candidate that has been endorsed by the Kansas State Rifle Association, which is the affiliate of the NRA. I'm the only candidate in this race with that endorsement. I'm the only candidate in the race with the Kansans for Life endorsement, the gold standard of the pro-life movement in our state. It's because I've been a champion and a warrior for pro-life principles. There's nothing more important than the sanctity of life. All lives matter from infancy to death. We need to protect that. We're all created equal in the image of God. And these babies need strong leaders like me that are going to fight for them. I led the charge to make sure that the abortion clinic was considered a non-essential service here in Sedgwick County. But what happened? Governor Kelly said it was essential. It's shameful. We have become a tourist destination for abortions in Sedgwick County. That should make us all shudder.
I do believe in the Republican platform wholeheartedly. I believe in the pro-life stance, and I have a record also. My record is actually doing for the Kansans for Life for 25 years. Fundraising for them, giving out their voter guides, talking at church, writing editorials, all these things I did, not because I gained from it, but because I wanted to help the women and the children. And I actually, it's a very personal issue to me because I was a teenage mom. I was 16 when I had my first child. And I had a lot of other difficulties throughout my life with pregnancies. And it's a very emotional thing for me, and I may not have gotten the political endorsement that I felt like I deserved, but it is part of who I am. And I also support all of the other platform issues, including the gun rights. I believe the NRA, I answered their questions exactly the way they requested, and I have never veered from that. But I also want to say you need to support our president. He needs us now more than ever. Thank you.
So first and foremost, the reason that I chose to be part of the Republican Party is because of their pro-life stance. From the time I learned at church at 13 years old about abortion, I was appalled. And so I will always remain with the Republican Party first and foremost because of that pro-life. I'm a supporter of the Second Amendment rights and everything else the Republican Party stands for. I don't think we need government interfering in our lives. I don't think we need to increase government. But I want to talk just a few seconds more about my pro-life stance. Not only am I pro-life, but I've been for the last 10 years involved in the Wichita Coalition for Child Abuse Prevention to advocate for those kids who aren't wanted, who are abused and neglected in our community, and not just to advocate them for them, but to advocate for them in the foster care system, that they would have safe, stable homes.
This will be our final question for these candidates, and then we'll go to their closing remarks. Again, this is a question that everyone's going to see. I believe it is essential that we elect solid conservative Republican candidates, in particular in this role on the county commission. The last thing we need is another Lacey Cruz, and I think everyone in this room will agree. It's essential we elect Republicans, especially at the county commission level. So starting at the top, do you support President Trump, and will you vote to reelect President Trump? Will you support our Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, regardless of who that is? And will you vote for your Republican opponent for county commission if it's not you? And we'll start with Kathleen Garrison.
I can answer yes to pretty much all those questions, especially President Trump. I'm very proud of him. I did go to Tulsa to support him. The other nominees, I want them to be overwhelmingly Republican. It's very important right now because the Congress is so divided and there's so much animosity amongst the whole populace that we have to have a united front. I have a little bit of difficulty with who would be nominated if it's not me, but I would probably still err on the side of voting for our party because it means that much to me. And I really encourage all of you to encourage your friends to do the same. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, I was the first elected official. Me and Dan Hawkins were the first legislators in the state of Kansas to endorse President Trump in 2016. I will continue to support President Trump. I think he's done great things for our country. For U.S. Senate, yes. If my guy does not get through the primary, I will still support the nominee, whoever it is. I was a big supporter of Susan Weigel. She was a dear friend of mine. She would have done a great job. She got out for personal reasons, but I will support that nominee. And absolutely, I'll support Ms. Garrison or Ms. Miles because they're far better than Ms. Sarah Lopez, who would be a train wreck on the county commission, who would give Lacey Cruz a second vote for everything, including higher taxes, including keeping the abortion clinics open, including taking away your gun rights. Sarah Lopez is probably more liberal than Lacey Cruz. So, yes, I will raise money. I will door knock. I will do anything in my power to make sure Mrs. Garrison or Mrs. Miles get elected because that's what Republicans need to do.
So, I've been asked this question before, and I didn't vote for Trump in 2016. I support some of the things that Trump does and some of the things that he does I don't support. And I'll be quite honest about that because my integrity is important. And I still remain a Republican. I know other Republicans that didn't vote for President Trump. And it doesn't change my values and my morals or the fact that I have a lot of experience to lead the county. And I would support the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, yes. I cannot support Commissioner O'Donnell in a reelection bid. And I have been disappointed in his ethics and his integrity. And I'm concerned about where we're headed and where this where this party is headed if we continue to support him.
As I indicated before we began, if any candidate referred to another candidate, I would give them 30 seconds. Michael, would you care to respond?
I've been attacked my whole political career because I'm a conservative. The fake news has been after me for the last 10 years. But I've stayed strong because my God's been with me, and that's all I need. I've got great family, great friends, God. Mrs. Miles is a great lady. Like I said, I'll support her. I'll endorse her if she's the nominee. I think that's the least she could do for me, but I know she also was a supporter of Tim Norton as well in 2016 over me, so I didn't need her vote to win last time. I'm not going to need her vote to win this time. Thank you.
All right. We will give each of you 90 seconds to close, and we will go in reverse order. So let's see. That would be then Michael O'Donnell to close.
Well, thank you all for coming out today. It's been a real honor and privilege and fun time to be here with so many people. This election is important. If anybody has noticed over the last 4 months, the county commissions have a lot more authority and a lot more power over your lives than we ever imagined, even more than I ever imagined. Telling you as a small business owner if you're essential or not. Telling you what you can wear when you leave your house. Nobody ever imagined when I was running for office 4 years ago to ask me these questions. But you know what? I do believe that we need strong leaders that are going to be able to go against public opinion, that are going to be able to go against groupthink that says, no, shut everybody down. Run and hide, be scared. That's wrong. It's un-American. It's un-Christian. It's not the way I want to operate. I don't want to live in fear. We have committed an economic crisis that has been manufactured that you cannot believe what's coming down the pike. We need leaders that are going to be able to stand up, fight against big government overreach, big government tax increases, use common sense. We've got problems with suicides in this county, emotional health problems in this county because of this coronavirus. That's what we need to talk about. So let's practice common sense and let's get our economy open. Let's stop with these games that continue to be played by the Wichita Eagle, by the news stations trying to fearmonger us. They're doing this to hurt Republicans. They're doing this to hurt the president. They're doing it to hurt people like me because, yes, they care. They want liberals on the county commissions. They do. There's no question I've been attacked because they hate me. They hate me more than they love our community. I'm proud that they hate me. You're known by your enemies. Thank you.
I'm very grateful and honored to be here, and I'm so appreciative of all your time to come here on a Saturday and listen to us. For those listening on the radio, thank you for being engaged and for caring about your country. This is a calling for me. I have had a career and a life outside of politics my whole life. I'm a business owner. I've raised my family here. I'm doing this because I really feel called to do my part and advocate for those that don't feel like they have a voice. I really want to be your voice. And I know I can do this. I'm not a controversial person by nature. I like to make peace. I like to make progress. And I like to bring everyone together and help us show each other what we have in common, not what we have in the differences between each other. They're minor. We can work together and make this community great. And we have a future for our families, for our children. I have 5 little beautiful grandchildren. I want them to be proud to live here and to protect it. The taking down of the statues, it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Talking about taking the Star Spangled Banner away, that I don't understand why these people hate our country so much. We should be proud of our country. I am proud of it. I'm proud of our heritage, and I will defend it to my dying breath. I just want to be there for you guys. I want you to feel like you can talk to me, and I will never dismiss you. I'll listen to you. I'm a very good listener, and I'm learned how to work with people, even people that maybe not be the easiest to work with, but I can do it. Mostly because I've had to. And I just want you to know I'm on your side. Thank you very much.
So I just want to take a couple more minutes and just talk about what's important to me if I serve, well, as I've served the county, but if I would continue to serve the county in this role. It's economic development is important to me. Our economy has been really, really damaged by the effects of the COVID-19 and the things that have gone on. I want to diversify employment opportunities. I want to continue to keep our talent in the county, and not only that, attract new talent, because we are exporting talent and young professionals at a rate unprecedented. I want to impact the issue of affordable and accessible mental health services that are leading to an increase in crime, poverty, homelessness, domestic violence, child abuse, and other things. If we don't impact this issue, it's going to continue to have a huge negative impact on our economy and the people in our county. And we cannot build a jail big enough to accommodate the increase and people that are being put in our jail because they've got mental health issues. Our jail is a mental health holding facility. 95% of the people in our jail have mental health issues. We've got to address that in order for us to build a better county and redirect some of that funding. I think we've got to implement some things that address our child care shortages in the county. Children are being placed at places that aren't safe for them because parents need to work, and it affects our workforce. Thank you. Google Cindy Miles, Michael O'Donnell, and Kathleen Garrison, and find out what you come up with.
All right, if I get a round of applause for our three candidates. You're listening to the Sedgwick County Republican Forum, sponsored by Republican Women United. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll proceed to our District 3 candidate forum with David Dennis and Hunter Larkin. We'll be back right after this.
Stephen Ted Mornings.
Spaying and neutering our pets, including our cats, is vital to their health and keeping the stray population down. I've had cats over the years, a number of cats in our family, and all of them spayed or neutered, so we were always responsible. Now, I don't know how that works with somebody like Bill Roy, who has goldfish for a pet. Are you a responsible pet owner with your goldfish? Did you have them neutered?
You bet, absolutely. When I had them, there were two males in there, I think. John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Cheeseburger, I think, were both males.
Well, you didn't have to worry about overpopulating the fish population.
Nope. Yeah, the only trouble there was those sea monkeys swimming all over the place.
That's right.
The little crowns.
Yeah. Don't get Ted started on sea monkeys.
Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Hi, this is John Whitmer, host of The John Whitmer Show, inviting you to join us Sunday evenings from 7 until 9 p.m. for The John Whitmer Show, where we proudly champion the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. That's Sunday evenings from 7 until 9 p.m. right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Ben Shapiro.
We shut down the most thriving economy in the history of the world. We put 40 million people out of work. This has, we know, severe health consequences. We know that if you put tens of millions of people out of work, you're going to get an uptick in suicide. You're going to get an uptick in domestic abuse. You're going to get a massive uptick in drug dependency. You're going to get a massive uptick in mental illness. You're going to get a massive uptick in people who are not going in for their vaccinations and their surgeries. We know all this because all of this happens to be factual.
Ben Shapiro, evenings at 9 on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
This is Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to our live coverage of the Sedgwick County Republican Forum, sponsored by Republican Women United, here on KNSS. As always, you can listen to us by asking your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. Also want to remind you to listen to the John Whitmer Show Sunday nights at 7 here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Joining us now is Sedgwick County Commission candidates David Dennis and Hunter Larkin. Hunter is running for District Number 3. Dave Dennis represents District Number 3. Now, I have to tell you, I have personal interest in this race. I live in Sedgwick County District Number 3, so, and my wife is listening. You've got two precinct people, one sitting next to you and one listening at home, so y'all better behave. That's just all I got to say on this one. We're going to go through some of the same questions. I'll mix up the order a little bit just so you don't get bored. But starting off with, and Dave, you and I have talked about this already, I know, because this is an issue, but you guys have a budget shortfall coming up. Could be significant. From what I hear, it's not going to be quite as bad as the city of Wichita's, but that's probably because you don't have a mini mayor trying to run things as a titan down there at City Hall. But it's going to be an issue. You've got a significant budget shortfall facing. How would you propose dealing with it? Do you support? You know what? Hold on. I forgot to allow you to introduce yourselves. We'll I'm learning. It's a new thing for me. We'll go ahead and let you introduce. We'll start with Hunter Larkin. Let you introduce yourself, Hunter.
Well, I first off would like to thank the Republican Women's United and John Whitmer for the invitation to come speak today. My name is Hunter Larkin, and the reason why I'm running for Sedgwick County Commissioner is because I believe that Sedgwick County and the 3rd District wants and deserves a true conservative in office. With my experience running finance and running an oil pipe company here in Wichita, I've learned the importance of a balanced budget. A wise man told me something that I'll never forget, a great mentor of mine. Hunter, it's easier to save a dollar than it is to make a dollar. So I decided to run for city council of my hometown of Goddard, Kansas, and implement that conservative idea. Once I was elected, I then was appointed as council president and applied that conservative idea to government, that it's easier to save a tax dollar than it is to levy for more tax dollars. With my help, the city of Goddard has maintained the lowest municipal mill levy in Sedgwick County other than Viola, and that's something I'm very proud of. I believe with my faith in God and my passion for this community that I'm your candidate for Sedgwick County Commissioner of the 3rd District, and I hope I can earn your vote on August 4th. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I want to thank Republican Women United, KNSS, and John Whitmer for allowing me to come speak to you today. A brief introduction on myself. I am married. This November, my wife and I will celebrate our 52nd wedding anniversary. I have two children. David teaches at Northwest High School. He has three children. And my other son, Eric, is a principal up in Nebraska, and he has two children. During 1968, when I graduated from college, the Vietnam War was going on. I enlisted in the United States Air Force, was promoted through Staff Sergeant. 4 years later, they offered me a commission. I accepted that. I retired after a total of 29 years of service as a full colonel. After that, I went back to college and got a teaching certificate, taught at North High School for 11 years. During that period of time, I was the announcer for the North High Redskins. And after I retired from teaching, I now am the announcer for the Northwest Grizzlies. My education, I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Business Administration from Fort Hays, a Master of Public Administration from the University of Oklahoma, and 25 graduate hours beyond that. I've also got numerous schools from the United States Air Force. I served on the District 5 Advisory Board for 8 years, the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission for 9 years, WAMPO, State Board of Education. I was elected to that and served as chairman for 4 years. I've been a precinct committee chairman for a total of 20 years, Boy Scout leader, homeowner association president. And my top priorities are public safety, behavioral health, low taxes, and quality of life. I thank you very much for this opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you for your service. Thank you, Hunter. Now getting back to it, let me start with this question. We just kind of touched on it a little bit in the intro, but tell me a little bit your thoughts on the budget. Do you support? Obviously, we're going to have to fill the hole. Is it going to be done through cuts, or we're going to have to do it through taxes, raising taxes? Dave, we'll start with you.
Thank you, John. You're going to find out coming up on the 15th what our budget looks like, because the manager is going to present the budget to all of us, although we've been working on it now since along about February. What it looks like is a very flat budget, no tax increase whatsoever. We will not have a tax increase. I'll say that again. We will not have a tax increase anywhere across the board. And how can we do that and still have a flat budget and perform the services? So first of all, unfortunately, there will be no pay raises for any of our county employees next year. We have all of the different budget increases that our staff has put forward. We pretty well said we cannot do that next year. We've been lucky. Since I've been on the county commissioner, we've had a surplus the first 3 years. But where are we at right now? We're going to hold the line on the budget. We have a very healthy reserve, and we will be able to weather this storm. Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, John. I've been looking into the budget, and I've realized that Sedgwick County gives roughly 1.5 mill levy budget that adds up being about $6 million to Wichita State University. Now, I believe in education, but I believe in the diverse points of view that we all have in our community. And I believe that WSU doesn't share that same conservative idea that a lot of our community has by not allowing Ivanka Trump to come speak in our community that we wanted her to come speak. So I think with that $6 million, I think we should take it away. If we're having shortcuts in funding, I would not hesitate, because when you start indoctrinating and start in sight of educating, that's when that money needs to go. So thank you.
So we did get a question from the audience here. I didn't get a chance to get to it last time, but is this running, is this about winning for you, or is it about serving for you? We'll go to Hunter Larkin for this one.
That's a great question. I think every candidate should be asked that. I ran for city council, like I told you in my introductory statement, because a wise man told me that it's easier to save a dollar than it is to make a dollar. I had a passion for business. I wanted to start my own business, but I realized something in this community, that we need more younger people that have the experience I do and are willing to put in the effort to change things and make our community a better place. That's why I ran for city council in my hometown of Goddard, Kansas, and that's why they put me in as their council president, because they knew I was going to do a great job, and I know I'm going to do that for Sedgwick County. Thank you.
Thank you. My entire life has been service. If you take a look, my first priority is service to God, and I try and do that through my church as Eucharistic minister and in the way that I display my daily life. I served our country, as I told you, for 29 years. I entered the military during the Vietnam War on purpose. I enlisted. I've served now as a teacher. I've served at Kansas State Board of Education. I've served on WAMPO, on Metropolitan Area Planning Commission, on the District 5 Advisory Board. And now I serve as your county commissioner. My life is service to our community, and that's what I'm most proud of. Thank you.
I shared some numbers earlier on hospitalization rates and the trend rates regarding the coronavirus. Obviously, Dr. Mins' decision has been controversial. So do you believe Dr. Mins was justified in ordering a mask mandate for Sedgwick County, or do you feel he exceeded his authority since the county commission had explicitly told him and explicitly expressed their opposition to such an order? We'll start with Commissioner Dennis.
Thanks, John. Let's go back a little over a week ago to Thursday when we had the special meeting to talk about what we were going to do about the governor's mandate. During that meeting, I was very, very explicit and said that we're going to strongly recommend that we wear masks. We didn't mandate it at that time. But one thing, if you go back and listen to my words, I said if things do not improve, we're going to have to do something. Well, things did not improve. They went the other direction. And as a result of that, we are having more and more people in the hospital. We get briefings every Monday on where they're at. The doctors in there are concerned. And I'm interested in three main things. One is that we have to get the economy moving again. Two, we have to get students back in school. And three, we have to be able to protect our hospitals so that they can treat the folks. Thank you.
John, that's a good question. Well, I believe in liberty, and I don't believe that it is up to a bureaucrat to dictate our everyday-to-day life. I believe in the people of Sedgwick County, and they are going to make the right decisions for them and their families. I don't believe it needs to be controlled by somebody who's not an elected official. And I'll tell you another thing. We need county commissioners that are going to tell Dr. Mins that he cannot dictate our lives. And we need a county commissioner that's going to stand up to him and is going to do something about it. Thank you.
So this is an issue that's important to me, so I'm going to ask a follow-up question. We had an unelected official who placed an order. I'm going to ask a follow-up then. Things have not improved. The mask mandate or order, ordinance, Mayor Whipple's little mini whatever the heck it is, has been in effect almost, over a week now. Things have not improved. They've gotten worse. What next if Lurch decides that he wants to roll back to phase one? If Lurch decides he wants a quarantine? If Lurch decides he wants to lock us all in our rooms? Would either of you tolerate that? Or at what point do we decide we are going to fire someone who's making $440,000 a year at the University of Kansas and $80,000 a year of our taxpayer money? At what point do we stand up? Would either of you be willing to stand up at that point? And I'll start with Hunter on that question.
I believe my last previous statement covers that. I don't believe that we should allow a bureaucrat to dictate our lives. I had my police chief in Goddard come to me when our lovely governor put in the order. He says, Hunter, what are we going to do? He says, what do you want to do? I said, Fred, we're not going to do a darn thing because we are not going to be told how to live our lives. And he says, thank you. Thank you for doing the right thing, even though it's being defiant. And that's what I wish our county commissioners would be telling the good people of our Sedgwick County.
Let's take a look at the order one time that's out there right now. And what you're going to see at the bottom of it, it says that we're not going to enforce this order, and there are no penalties involved in the order. We also went back to Dr. Menz and said, we've got a problem. In fact, that we're going to have church Sunday, and we're going to be mandating 15 people, or 45 people, rather, in the church. And we said, that's unacceptable. So, yes, we talked to him. If there's something that we strongly disagree with, like limiting our ability to attend church, our constitutional right to worship as we please, we will make adjustments. We will not stand by if there is something that interferes with that. But right now we have so few tools in our toolbox, and as John said, the order from the city was passed a week ago, but unfortunately it's about 10 to 14 days period between the time someone gets it until we know that they've got it, so we don't know what's going to happen. Sorry, my time's up.
Moving on to our next question, what are your thoughts on the future of Century 2? Do you support the Save Century 2 movement, or do you support those who want to tear it down and redevelop the property?
Century 2 is a City of Wichita issue. It could become a Sedgwick County issue depending on what happens in the future, but the economy is not at all ready to do anything that costs $1.5 billion. So do I support the petition that was passed around? I did not sign that petition for a couple reasons. I read it very carefully, and that prohibits the dismantlement of any building, whether it has any kind of historical value or not. It has to go before a public vote. That takes the authority away from our city council people. I support the city council. We have to be very good partners with the city council. But as far as Century 2 right now, I see nothing going to happen in the near future. So that is not a Sedgwick County issue. Thank you.
Well, I believe it is a Sedgwick County issue because if we tear down Century 2 and redevelop the riverfront, it's not going to be just people in the city of Wichita that contribute to the project. It's going to be people all throughout our county. So I believe that their voices need to be heard, and they deserve a voice. I believe that's a cop-out. But I'll tell you, I'll give you an example on my experience on the city council in Goddard. My library board wanted more funding. They wanted me to increase property taxes. And I said, if you want that, you've got to send it to a public vote because people deserve to have their voices heard. And that's what I would be telling the people who want to save Century 2. I give it to John Todd and the whole group for the Save Century 2 project because they're doing an amazing job.
Getting back to some basic questions here. Where do you stand on our party platform, the Second Amendment rights, the right to life, those basic principle issues that define what it is to be a Republican? And we'll start with Hunter Larkin.
I've been a Republican all my life. I've been arguing with my teachers in high school, English teachers, for a long, long time. They got tired of me after a while. But I heard the question. I want to make a few points. I believe in life. I do not believe in abortion. And I believe during a coronavirus, we shouldn't be considering abortion clinics essential. I believe in guns. I believe I can shoot out one anybody in this room or put you to the test. So I'm never going to try to take away your guns. But also, here in today's world, we're talking about black lives, all lives. But you know what lives matter as well? Blue lives. Blue lives matter as well. And I want the people of the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Department and all of our officers in this community to know that I will have their back and I will defend them any chance I can get. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm a lifelong Republican. Unfortunately, while you're in the military, you can't do anything to be political. So as soon as I got out of the military, I did become involved in our community in a political way. And so I became a precinct committee man, and my wife's precinct committee woman. And we've been doing that for about 20 years. So we've been supporting exactly what Republicans believe in ever since that I've gotten into this area. As far as the main topics that John asked about, pro-life, I've been a pro-life advocate my entire life. When I was on the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission, we had a petition to zone out the abortion clinic. Unfortunately, I was one of the few on the MAPC that voted to try and get that to happen. On the county commission, we voted to send a note to the governor to ask her to make abortion clinics not essential. I'm out of time, but as far as the NRA, I was endorsed by the Kansas State Rifle Association. I'm a life member of the NRA. Thank you.
Do you, obviously, I think both of you want, you're certainly hoping that you will be the Republican nominee, but assuming that you're not, will you support the Republican nominee if you don't win the primary? Do you support President Trump, and will you vote to reelect the president? And will you support the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, regardless of who it might be?
Well, the answer to all those is yes. Obviously, I've told you that I'm a Republican precinct committee man, and that's our job. I'm on the ballot coming up, and our job is to elect Republicans. I voted for President Trump. I'll do it again. I'll vote for our Senate nominee. I'll tell you right now, I'm voting for Moran. I will support my opponent if he is the one that is nominated to run for the county commission. Thank you.
That's a very easy question to answer, John. Of course I support President Trump. You know, my dad came to me when he was running. He says, Hunter, I just don't know if he can make it. But I said, Dad, he's going to win. He's going to win, and he's going to do a great job, and he has stood by the American people and fought for what he believes in, and I think that he has absolutely done a great job. Of course, I'm going to support whoever the Senate nominee is, and of course I'd support Mr. Dennis, Commissioner Dennis, if he wins the primary. Thank you.
Just so that the folks in the audience here saw it, but Dave did lean over to me and made sure to point out that there's no way he'd vote for Barbara Beaulieu. So just to make sure we get that out there. And trust me, I've known Dave long enough that I think he'd rather lose a limb than vote for Barbara Beaulieu. So I don't think there's any concern in that. I just want to give everybody a chance to give a final closing comment. And I didn't get a chance on our last candidates to point this out. But if you want more information, if you want to volunteer or, more importantly, donate, make sure you visit these guys' websites and help them out. Donate, volunteer, do what you can to help out. We'll go ahead and give them a second to close here if we can. Start off with David Dennis.
Thank you. And it's Roger Marshall, by the way. I apologize. I have the education, the experience, and the background of leadership and a track record. I believe in God, my country, my state, and my community. My accomplishments surplus first 3 years I was on the commission. No tax increases, none in the future. We're going to build a brand new fire station out at Andale. We'll have ribbon cutting yet this month. The Colwich ethanol plant, we built a brand new road for them to be able to get in, and we improved the other roads around that. We put an EMS station out in Garden Plain, and we're working on moving a paramedic over to Cheney. We've improved. We have 300 miles of road in Sedgwick County in my district alone. We have 300 bridges in my district alone. We have construction going on constantly to improve western Sedgwick County. And I have gotten more done on the Northwest Bypass than anyone had in the previous 20 years. I just received the endorsement from Governor Collier, and very proud of that. Sheriff Jeff Easter, Sheriff Mike Hill, DA Mike Bennett, Kansans for Life, Wichita Regional Chamber of Commerce, and the Kansas State Rifle Association Political Action Committee, and business leaders. We need consistent, mature, qualified leaders for the next 4 years, and I believe I am that person. Thank you very much.
There's a quote I like by Steve Jobs. I tell it all the time. I think I told it at the last debate. But here it is. Here's to the crazy ones, the troublemakers, the misfits, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but about the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while others may see you as the crazy one, we see genius, because the ones that think they can change the world are the ones who do. Now, some people might look at me and think he's a little bit of a crazy one, a little too young. Maybe they might think I'm inexperienced, but I can promise you I do have the experience. But maybe this is what Sedgwick County needs. Maybe we need a breath of fresh air that's actually going to try to push our community forward. I hope I can earn your vote on August 4th, thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to our live coverage of the Sedgwick County Candidate Forum, with, brought to you by Republican Women United. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll have our County Treasurer Forum with Brandy Bailey and Ben Salceda. We'll be back right after this.
And now, a message from your smart speaker.
I know you're out there, touching things again, but who was there for you when you didn't want to touch anything? When all you had to do was ask, and you got all the information you wanted from a trusted source.
Still the best way to stay in touch with what's happening.
Go ahead, touch your nasty phone. See if I care.
On air, on your smart speaker, or any smart device.
And don't give me any of that it's not you, it's me nonsense.
This is 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And
I'm feeling good about things right now.
When your words are as powerful as his.
I'm taking the risk to tell you today that I'm feeling good.
You must choose them wisely.
As I've tried to be guarded when I have had upbeat feelings. I've tried to make sure that I don't go overboard either way.
The wise words of Rush Limbaugh.
Realizing how deeply powerful and influential that I am.
Daily at 11.
I'm feeling good.
On 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Hi, this is John Whitmer, host of The John Whitmer Show, inviting you to join us Sunday evenings from 7 until 9 p.m. for The John Whitmer Show, where we proudly champion the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. That's Sunday evenings from 7 until 9 p.m. right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. It is central to the center's mission to convene discussions about current constitutional issues facing our nation so that people of all ages and perspectives can learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For the center's live programs, constitutional news, podcasts, educational resources, and online interactive Constitution, visit constitutioncenter.org.
Ben Shapiro.
We shut down the most thriving economy in the history of the world. We put 40 million people out of work. This has, we know, severe health consequences.
We know that if you put tens of millions of people out of work, you're going to get an uptick in suicide. You're going to get an uptick in domestic abuse. You're going to get a massive uptick in drug dependency. You're going to get a massive uptick in mental illness. You're going to get a massive uptick in people who are not going in for their vaccinations and their surgeries. We know all this because all of this happens to be factual.
Ben Shapiro, evenings at 9 on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Stephen Ted Mornings.
A lot of flavored cereals out there, chocolate, honey oat, apple cinnamon, Oreo. But how about green onion? That's what's happening in South Korea, and it's a flavor that is 16 years in the making. Back in 2004, Kellogg's launched a competition in which it asked South Koreans to pick a new flavor of Chex, chocolate or green onion flavor.
Bad idea right there.
The green onion flavor won by a wide margin, but there was talk of election chicanery, and chocolate was declared the winner. Many South Koreans were outraged. And now, Kellogg's has made it right by producing the green onion flavor and introducing it with a celebrity-fueled ad campaign. Sounds yummy, doesn't it?
Sounds like something... or straight into the garbage.
Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
This is Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to our live coverage of the Sedgwick County Republican Forum, sponsored by Republican Women United. Want to remind you to join us on Sunday evenings for the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. You can also listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. Joining us now is Brandy Bailey and Ben Sauceda. They are candidates for our Sedgwick County Treasurer. We'll give them each a moment to give us a brief introduction. We'll start with Brandy Bailey. Brandy, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I am Brandy Bailey. I'm a proud mom of two daughters, 17-year-old Katie, who's going to be a senior this fall at East High in the International Baccalaureate program, and 11-year-old Lexi. She's going to be a sixth grader at Stuckey Middle School. My experience includes over 13 years of serving Sedgwick County citizens. Concurrently, I have served as Park City Treasurer, and during that time, I was then appointed to a vacancy in the Park City City Council. Since then, I have been elected to the Park City Council, and my peers on the council elected me as Park City Council President in my second year on the board, on the 8-member board. The greatest thing I could ever aspire to do is to be able to make a difference in the county that I love. I am passionate about my service and the community, and I have a commitment and dedication to move this public office forward to the standard that you expect and you deserve. So I will ask you for your support and your vote in the August 4th primary for Sedgwick County Treasurer.
Oh, I thought it was on. There we go. My name is Ben Salceda. I am a candidate for the Sedgwick County Treasurer's position. Many of you know me. We've worked alongside various campaigns for many years. I've been a grassroots worker since I was 13 in the Republican Party, starting in 1996 with a newspaper I started at our Christian school. And in 1996, I called every single candidate, both Republican and Democrat, running for office in Sumner County, interviewed them all. And each time after I'd leave an interview, every time I'd interview the Republican candidate, I would bring a yard sign home and put it in our yard. My parents were not political at all, so at first I had to get a little concerned. My dad was going to get upset that I'm bringing home all these yard signs. But during that time, I got a chance to meet several wonderful individuals, and I, again, have been involved through that. Currently, I serve as a Sedgwick County Deputy Treasurer overseeing our tax department division there. Been there for a little over a year and a half. Prior to that, I've served as a school administrator in our private school at our church overnight for 9 years, where I oversaw the research on curriculum, developing the curriculum, working with parents, working with teachers, working with students, which is always fun to get all three of those together and trying to make it work in harmony. But we did that. And after 9 years, we made sure that our accreditation process was done there with the National Association of Private Schools. And so I've had a history of management and leadership, and it's with that experience in hand that I'm asking for your vote in the August 4th Republican primary.
All right, so we all, well, many of us know that the incumbent in the position is retiring. I think we all love Linda Kazire. She's one of the best. So my first question is, this is a leadership management position. What are your qualifications for the position, and what separates you from your opponent? We'll start with Ben.
Sure. So, as I mentioned, I currently serve as the deputy treasurer over our tax department there. In this year and a half, I know what it's like to have to fill out employee reviews, make sure the team that we have of 18 individuals are all working in the right direction, making sure that we're getting the same things done that need to be accomplished to make sure that our department is doing their work efficiently and effectively. I am proud to have the support of our current treasurer, Linda Kazire, as a supporter and an endorser in my campaign. She understands what leadership is about, and she sees leadership and experience when she decides to make her choice of who should succeed her, and I'm proud to have her support. As I mentioned as well, I've already worked in areas of leadership and management for many years. At the age of 20, I was actually hired in our cell phone company, which I know is at, many, many years ago. But at 20, I was hired to serve as the manager for two different locations, being the youngest person in their company, which was a nationwide company, to serve as not just a manager of one store, but of two. So I have 15 years of experience in leading, and I'll take that with me.
Absolutely. Linda Kazire is an amazing treasurer. She's done a wonderful job. The experience I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I have a master's degree in business administration. I've been serving Sedgwick County, the citizens of Sedgwick County, in the finance department of Sedgwick County for the last 13 years. I work in the bank. I take care of all the banking for the Sedgwick County finance department and for the entire county. I do the investments for the county. I analyzed our investment portfolio and decided that I was going to focus on how do we increase our revenues. So I looked at that and worked with my brokers that I work with to buy investments, and I increased our annual interest by over 150% in the 1 year alone. I work with our auditors, and this last year with the auditors, we reviewed some accounts, and we were able to get $43,000 back to an entity that wasn't receiving their tax revenue. My time's up.
So here's a question for you. Will you make the tag office more efficient? Do you think two tag offices is enough? And will you reduce the lines at the tag office at the end of every month? Because that seems to be, let's just put, brass tacks to it. It seems like at the end of the month, well, you want to avoid that place. So how are you going to produce more efficiency out of the tag office?
I've heard your frustrations about the tag office operations. Commissioners, tell me that is one of the biggest complaints that they hear is the lines at the tag office. Two tag offices. Absolutely, I do not feel that is enough tag offices. We built a brand new, beautiful tag office. It can hold several thousand people, but parking, how many people can park in that parking lot? Not very many. We need to be able to serve the entire county. We need to have satellite locations. We need to look at maybe extending our hours, doing some flex hours with our employees. Maybe we look at opening up for a couple hours on Saturdays so people are not having to take off work and spend the entire day at the tax office.
So the tag office is always that fun gorilla in the room, elephant in the room there. And there are several things that can be done. For instance, and one of the things that we've tried to take and really promote, the ability to use online resources to renew your tags, have them back quickly and in your hand. So right now, you can go online to ICANN and renew your tag and have it mailed to you within 2 days. You also have the ability right now to be able to mail those in to help avoid some of the lines and frustration that might take place at the tag offices. Now, there are some things that require you to go in person to the tag office. And as we can make a concerted effort to promote the ease of online vehicle registration or mail-in renewals, that will very efficiently cut down the line for waiting. That said, we are also doing some other things. For instance, we are working with commissioners right now, and I've served on this committee helping Linda Kazire to set up our kiosk systems in satellite locations to make sure that people can go in line and do their renewals there. So we're making sure that we're doing a lot to ensure that our tag operations are better.
So I'm going to combine our Republican questions all into one. We'll combine the platform, we'll combine the support for the president, for your opponent, and for our Senate candidates all into one. It's a generic question. Do you support the platform? Do you support the president? Do you support your opponent? Give me your view
of the Republican policies, our platform, and essentially, what does it mean? What does being a Republican mean to you? We'll start with Ben.
Yes, I support the platform. I'm proud to have the endorsement of Kansans for Life as the Republican candidate in this race. I've worked for Life for many, many years, passing out flyers, doing the prayer chains, supporting candidates who care about the issue of life. In 2012, I ran for county commission in District 2 and was endorsed by the Kansas State Rifle Association. I care about our Second Amendment rights and the ability that you and I have to be free individuals. During this time, yes, I'm going to support our president. If he is obviously going to be our nominee, once we get through Jacksonville, he'll be the official nominee. I'll support him. I'll support our nominee. If Brandy is the winner in the August 4th primary, I will be glad to support Brandy for county treasurer. That said, I'm asking for your vote on August 4th so that we shall have the ability to support me.
First, I want to say I have been a Republican my entire life. Wholeheartedly, I believe in the principles, and I support the principles of the Republican Party. It was also acknowledged by the Kansans for Life as being a pro-life candidate. I support the Second Amendment. I 100% support Donald Trump. I would support our nominee for the U.S. Senate, whoever that ends up being. And yes, if Ben was our person that was elected on August 4th, I would support him. We have to keep the offices Republican no matter what. We have to support every Republican candidate that is on that ballot. With that, I would ask for your vote on August 4th. And just know that I will be there to serve you as the citizens of Sedgwick County.
Well, we want to keep the tag office more efficient. We're trying to keep our debates and our forums a little more efficient. I'll give these two candidates an opportunity to wrap up. But before I do, I want to encourage you again to volunteer, more importantly, donate, visit their websites, get some more information about them. Before we do, we'll give each of you an opportunity to just kind of recap if you want to. We'll start with Ben Sauceda.
What our country desperately needs right now are more public servants, more statesmen, less politicians, less people who are looking to get another job up or move up in the world of politics. We need people who are truly here to serve our citizens. I've dedicated my life to service, whether it's been as an associate pastor, a youth director for many years at our church. I've served on our Leukemia and Lymphoma Society after my sister passed away 2 years ago from leukemia, tragically. Life is about service. When I decided to run for Sedgwick County Treasurer, it's continuing on that legacy of serving. It's not about fulfilling dreams. It's not about trying to promote myself for the next office. It's truly about serving you. I am at heart a conservative. I've always been a conservative. On my time as city council, I never was out advocating for mill levy increases, sales tax increases, anything, because I believe government, whether you are legislating or whether you are serving in a more executive position, requires conservative, principled leadership. I have a history of that there. I have a history on our city council. I have a history of supporting candidates that view it that way. And as your city, as your county treasurer, I will work to make sure that our treasurer's office stays efficient and effective moving forward. Again, I'd ask for your vote, August 4th, Republican primary, Ben Sauceda. Thank you.
First, I want to thank John Whitmer for being the moderator of this forum. But bigger, I would like to thank RWU for bringing all of us Republican candidates together here to express our viewpoints and to be able to answer direct questions from you guys. You, the citizens of Sedgwick County, are the strength of our community. Your voices are important. I've been public service by choice. And I want to step up and serve as your county treasurer and bring new and progressive ideas to make improvements to the office. I've heard your frustrations about the tag offices, and like I said, that's what I hear the commissioners say is one of the biggest complaints they hear. My top priority is to offer in finding a valid solution to ways to improve the office and how to, and improving how to tag your vehicles. There are ways to make improvements, and we can still comply with the Division of Motor Vehicles regulations. You deserve to have an experienced and qualified candidate. I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I have a master's degree in business administration. I have strong experience in financial management and proven leadership with the adopted policy changes that I brought to the commission over convenience fees. That way, the burden is no longer on you, the property taxpayers. I am proud of my service. I want to continue to serve. I am not a professional politician. I don't have various groups endorsing me, but many don't during the primary. I do have many supporters, family, friends, and others that I have worked with, and I would ask for your vote on August 4th for Sedgwick County Treasurer.
If I can have a quick round of applause, you're listening to our live coverage of the Sedgwick County Republican Forum, sponsored by Republican Women United. We'll take our final break, and then we'll be back with our State School Board Forum, District Number 8, with Kathy Bush and Trish Heilman. We'll be back right after this.
When it comes to local, no other Wichita radio station provides more local than KNSS. From local shows like the award-winning locally produced Steve and Ted in the Morning to local news and weather updates each hour, Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
I'm listening daily, here to help end the stigma of talking about mental health. During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. Here's licensed therapist Dr. Chris Donahue with a daily mental checklist.
The first thing you can do every day is start your day by asking yourself, what am I grateful for? That sets a positive tone. Also, in what ways and with whom am I going to connect to today? Because again, we're working on reaching out to others, letting them connect to us, but also making sure we're not getting lonely and isolated. We also want to look at expectations we have on ourselves. Be flexible. Hold it loosely. Allow yourself to have a day that is not necessarily the normal or the standard. Also, making sure you're going outside. In what ways am I going to go outside for sunlight and fresh air? And finally, how today am I going to move my body? Because movement is part of physical health, but also part of mental health.
Let's end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find out more at imlistening.org.
Hi, this is John Whitmer, host of The John Whitmer Show, inviting you to join us Sunday evenings from 7 until 9 p.m. for The John Whitmer Show, where we proudly champion the core conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. That's Sunday evenings from 7 until 9 p.m. right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Steve and Ted Mornings.
Ted, you went to the drive-in theater over the weekend.
I did. I hadn't been to the Starlight in many years.
So what did you see? It was a double feature?
Yeah, as well as a couple of Steven Spielberg movies, Jurassic Park and E.T.
Okay. They still have little speakers that go up on the...
Nope.
Nope.
How do you do it? You tune into your FM station.
Use an FM? Yep.
I have not seen E.T. since I saw it at the Crest when it came out. It was not crowded.
Okay. So you had a good time.
It was July 4th. People were doing other stuff.
You're right. They were doing a lot of other things.
And it was...
Did they have a fireworks display for you?
But of course, people in the neighborhood were doing plenty of stuff.
No kidding.
Steve and Ted in the Morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
This is Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to our live coverage of the Sedgwick County Republican Forum, sponsored by Republican Women United. We want to thank you for joining us today. This is an interesting one. So joining us now, we were planning on having our school board discussion for District 8 with Kathy Bush and Trish Heilman. Now, Trish has committed to running a positive campaign. It's hard to do when your opponent is a rhino who won't even show up. Now, Trish is going to be positive. Fortunately, I don't have to behave according to those rules. So I'm going to say what Kathy Bush is, which is a Republican in name only who doesn't have the guts to show up and answer questions in a forum. So Trish will be nice, and I won't be constrained by those restrictions. So joining us now is Trish Heilman. She is a candidate for State School Board District 8. Trish, tell us a little bit. This is an interview, actually, now. I'm going to just bag on her all morning. No, go ahead. Trish, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you. My name is Trish Heilman. I am a mom of five children. married to my husband for a little over 20 years, and we've lived in Wichita our whole adult lives. Post-graduation, my husband and I both moved here, and he came here with Cessna, now Textron, and I came here with Cargill as a commodity merchant. So we met and married at church, met through a Bible study, and obviously married at church. I mean, maybe duh. But anyway, so then I was working, and we started having children, and we sort of did one of those, who's going to stay home with the kids? Because one of us needed to, right? We've got to have people at home making sure that if kids are sick, there's somebody there. That's my values. That's my parenting philosophy. And I don't know if Stephen won or I won, but I stayed home. So I stayed home with my kids, and we have five children. Because of who my kids are, I have had a lot of experience advocating in our education system and working really hard to make sure that all of my kids get a great education. And now I want to use that experience and that tenacity. I want a bulldog for your kids. I want a bulldog for Wichita's kids.
Very good. Well, now I'm going to make an observation here as someone who has been involved in campaigns for decades, who's won and won and won and lost a campaign. If you're a candidate, if you don't define yourself, others will define you for you. So I'm going to ask Kathy Bush a question now, and Kathy's not here, but we'll see if she can answer. Kathy, tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, John, I'm a Democrat, and I can't win as a Democrat, so I registered as a Republican. But since I'm a lying, cheating Democrat, and I can't win as a Republican, or as a Democrat, I registered as a Republican. Please vote for me, and I'm just going to lie to you. Okay, well, thank you, Kathy. Appreciate you joining us. Our next question.
Look at Alta.
Yeah, Alta's dying over here. Having served in the legislature and seen the pattern firsthand, I know it's only a matter of time before K-12 education establishment and their allies over at the KNEA sue the taxpayers for more taxpayer money for education again. Do you feel the schools are adequately funded? What are your thoughts on school funding? Should I start with Kathy on that one, or should I go to you? I'll go to you.
Thank you. I'm about to be a mom on you, man. All right, so here's one of the things, right? We have had a lot of people as Republicans, and we need to own this. And here I am running into the void, right? We don't have a lot of Republicans on school boards. We don't have a lot of Republicans at the state board. I have been working. I've been begging my friends, like-minded people, get out, run for stuff. Come on, I'll help you. I'll answer questions. Let's go. Because we need common sense caring Kansans to sit up there and make common sense decisions, right? We need that. And we need to have, am I constrained by time limit?
No, you can have her time.
Thank you. So... Thank you. So that's what I'm saying. We need people up. We've got a legislature who's Republican. We're in Kansas. They're going to stay Republican, right? We need people on the state school board who can communicate with them effectively. We need people who are going to be honest about where there are places we can cut in funding, because their studies were just recently done. By the way, if you look up the studies that were done that showed that special ed funding or that special monies funding was not being used appropriately, that was Kathy commented on that study in the Kansas City Star, and it didn't. She said, "No, we need more money." So I'm just, and I'm just saying, we have enough money. $15,000 per kid, that's enough money to educate students. It's enough. But we have to make sure it's getting to our kids in the classroom, to our teachers in our classrooms. We need to make sure that we're spending it wisely.
Trust me, having sat through legislative sessions on this issue, I completely agree. It's fresh, as a fresh perspective, to hear someone, a candidate for school board, who's willing to actually say, yes, we are adequately funding our schools. Here's a question from the audience. Our schools are failing to educate children in our history pertaining to our founders. What would you do to help instill changes to better educate our kids regarding history and American history in particular?
Well, state school board, right? State Board of Education. Their big overarching things are accreditation and teacher licensure. There's also some stuff they help to establish some standards in education pieces, for instance, history standards, right? We have to make sure that our schools are preparing students for 21st century life, to be innovative thinkers, to be up on their feet and their toes and to know how to think. We also need to make sure that we're learning history as it actually happened. We're not reformulating history. We should be able to look at our history books, and I enjoy doing this, from 50 years ago and see some things that are taught in the history books today, right? We need to educate, and we need to make sure, right or left, we're not indoctrinating. We need students to think for themselves. We need critical thinkers. We need people. Americans are innovators. We need our education system to be innovative and to get kids thinking for themselves, working for themselves, because that's what the real world needs from them. They need to be up on it. They need to know their stuff and to be ready to present it to the world.
So we're sitting at right now, and again, thank you to our hosts who are willing to host us today, but we're here at the Urban Prep Academy. So this is a question I think should be asked, considering where we are. What are your thoughts on parental choice, on school choice, on allowing folks to take that money, that $15,000 or half of that money, would cover your tuition here, for example? What are your thoughts on parental choice and allowing parents to take that money and put their kid in a school that may be better performing than a public school?
So I'll just say it flat out, because this is not something that I know that there are people in the room who are like, Trish, if you would just be pro-voucher, if you would. Nope, I am public funds for public schools. That's where I am. I have not seen legislation that would actually make sure that the kids that need it most are getting the funds versus the kids that already have options get more options. That's where I've been. Am I willing to have the discussions? Yes. Have I gone to the people who are having these talks and are educating people? I've gone to forums in this room that are working to get the ideas out there. Am I afraid of a discussion and ideas? Nope. Let's talk. Let's work this out, because we need to make sure that education in Kansas educates all Kansas kids. Even in places where there are robust voucher systems like Florida, more than 90% of the kids still go to public school. So if you withdraw public funding from your public schools, you are taking from the least of these. And that's not a Christian value that I can support.
So we have a guest coming on the show this Sunday, as a matter of fact, and she's got a very interesting theory. There's a movement across the country right now to defund the police. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. Her theory is, instead of defunding the police, we should defund the KNEA, the NEA, the teachers' unions, because so much requirement, so much legislation, so much is dependent, is required. Teachers are required to pay for their unions. And the problem you have in law enforcement is bad cops that can't be fired. There's the same problem in education, bad teachers that can't be fired. What are your thoughts on mandatory teachers' unions and the difficulty there is in not being able to fire bad teachers?
That's a great question, John. We are blessed in Kansas to be in a place that really values freedom. Did you know that Wichita teachers, there are 40% of them represented by the union? 60%, the majority of teachers don't feel that their union represents them all that well. And that's a lot of the teachers that I've talked to, that's because of the values that those unions are purporting down the line, right? We need to make sure teachers are priority. They are the front lines of the people who are touching, that doesn't sound right, the people who are engaging with our children, right? They are the front lines. They're the ones. Most important thing in a kid's education, their parents. If you've got engaged parents, those kids are going to be okay. Number two, great teachers. We have got to make sure that we're focusing on teachers, that we're getting great talent drawn. We are paying great talent. I'm not sure that the KNEA is doing teachers a service by behaving the way they are. I am not endorsed by the KNEA. Kathy is.
I would say that's a badge of honor. We'll go ahead and give both of our candidates an opportunity to give a final wrap-up statement. Well, I guess that's enough said from Kathy. Trish, go ahead and give us a moment to give us a final closing remarks, if you would.
Thank you. I want to be a part of a conversation that drives public education to excellence. I want to show up to school boards and ask the questions. I want to talk to my school board members and say, hey, where can we get our reading scores improved? How do we engage the community to do the work? Where can we get our electeds to pull together? I've proposed, let's do, and this is something that the state board can uniquely do as a leader in the region, let's have a Sedgwick County Leadership Summit in the summer, 2 days, all elected school board members often get the, you know, the brush off, city councils, county commissioners, let's bring them all together, district attorneys, important elected people, judges, you'd be welcome. Let's bring them all together. Let's talk about the things that our schools do great. Let's talk about the things that our schools don't do so great. Let's line up the facts, educate each other, and then spend day number two, on solutions. We talk a lot about the problems. We need to start figuring out solutions to this stuff. Day number two, all about solutions, how all of the electeds will work together to make solutions for our Kansas kids. Let's get out there. Let's be a part of the conversation. Let's be a part of fixing and creating excellence in our public schools. Our kids need us.
I want to thank you on behalf of all of our candidates. Let's get a round of applause for our candidates today. Thank you on behalf of Republican Women United. You've been listening to our live coverage of the Sedgwick County Republican Forum here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Thank you for joining us. We'll return you now to our regularly scheduled programming.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.